So if you have your Bibles, the book of Mark is on our heart this evening. Book of Mark, chapter number 1. And I want to look at verse number 14. Mark 1, verse number 14. We're preaching a series entitled Treasures from the Book of Mark. And tonight we want to preach on the prison of doubt. We read in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, when I think about that very verse, I think about John being put in the prison. That just seemed to stand out in my mind. It seems like nowadays people try to give the impression that they're always pumped up. People try to give the impression that things are great and that things are rosy and just fine. Yet our Bible shares testimonies of men that live with real problems in a real world. And these are men who served God. And God used them greatly.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about tonight about men who struggled with the same struggles we have.
Amen.
Men who have the same failures that we have.
Amen.
Men who faced like passions as we have.
Right.
I think about John being put in prison. We'll read a little further in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I want to look at verse number 2. Seems like when we see John the Baptist, we see a great man that God used greatly. I mean, probably, no doubt, the greatest of all the prophets, greatest of all the men. The Lord chose him to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, John is in prison. Verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, some of us think that only unstable or weak, feeble individuals are people who struggle with doubt. But Mark and Matthew have presented to us, and Luke does as well, one of the most unlikeliest of candidates for doubt, John the Baptist. Well, I'll ask you a question. Many questions flood my mind. Have you ever wrestled with doubt?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Has doubt ever assailed or invaded the life in which you live?
Yes, it has. Amen.
Those doubts will cause you to stumble.
Sure.
They'll shake you. They'll snare you. They'll suspend you. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 says, Neither be ye of doubtful mind. You may say, Preacher Darren, I don't think John was doubting right here. Well, I want you to consider things. Number one, there is the vicious reality of doubt. Now, John the Baptist has some things that he's very certain about. You remember the angel Gabriel appeared to his daddy, Zacharias, and said, He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He said, He shall go before him. In other words, he'll prepare the way. And remember, Zacharias did not believe, and the Lord struck him so that he could not speak because he doubted. I think about how the angel came to Mary and told Mary she would be with child with the Messiah. And she said, be it unto me, your words. She went later to see her cousin Elizabeth and told her that she had been chosen to bear the Christ child. And when she did, John the Baptist leaped in her womb when he heard of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a very popular preacher. He preached, repent, repent, repent. And people were confessing their sins and being baptized. In fact, he was being baptized. He was so popular, they named him John the Baptist.
Amen.
He baptized Jesus.
Yes, he did.
And when he baptized Jesus, John saw the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. John heard God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." John saw and bear record that Jesus is the very Christ. And yet there was a time when John stood up to say to King Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And for that, Herod locked John up in a prison cell. John was uncompromising, and he's thrown in jail. So he's certain of some things. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But now we find from a prison cell, John has some uncertainties. Verse 3, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Verse 2 said that he sent two of his very own disciples, John's disciples, to go ask this of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's passing his doubt on to others. And may I just say tonight that your doubt is contagious. You start expressing your doubts, you'll cause your children. You'll cause another believer to start to stumble and get shaken up when you start with your doubts out loud to other people. So number one, tonight we see the vicious reality of doubt. All of us, possible that you could struggle or wrestle or be shaken with doubt. Number two, there are various reasons for doubt. Look at verse 2. When did John begin to doubt? Preacher Darren, it's when he's in the prison. Well, that's true. We see where he was, but what was happening in the prison that caused him? When he heard the works of Christ. So I want to say three things tonight about the reasons John the Baptist doubted. And maybe you're going to find some reasons you doubt as well. The first one would be he's disillusioned. Preacher Darren, what do you mean? John the Baptist is preaching a message of repentance. Look in chapter 3, and I want to read to you in verse 8. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Chapter 3, verse 9. "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Verse 10. "Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." He says the axe will hit the tree, hew it down, and cast it where? Into the fire. Verse number 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Did you see at the end of verse 10, cast into the fire? At the end of verse 11, fire? He's preaching judgment, y'all. Judgment, fire, fire, fire. Verse 12, "whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John's preaching fire, 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 judgment, judgment, judgment. Jesus comes preaching repentance. But when he preaches repentance, within his message is mercy and forgiveness. John the Baptist said, "What? I'm preaching judgment. He's preaching mercy. I'm preaching judgment. He's preaching forgiveness. I'm preaching judgment. He's preaching salvation." Now, no doubt John the Baptist saw many converts. But Jesus is showing mercy to a Roman centurion. Jesus is showing mercy to a leper who is an outcast. Jesus is showing mercy to a publican who is a tax collector. Jesus is forgiving sinners. This is not what John the Baptist had expected. What about fire? What about the axe? What about judgment? I want to say tonight that you and I have had goals, dreams, aspirations for your life. Has it gone like you thought? I'm talking to somebody that's older like me. Has your life turned out like you thought? I sure didn't think I'd be a Baptist preacher. But then when I did decide to be a Baptist preacher, I sure thought it would be different than it's been. I've been amazed. I'm going to say, somebody not you, you know that God's call is on your life. You are trying to do what God has called you to do. And in doing so, trusting God, walking with God, it's not turned out like you thought it would. You've been disillusioned with how you thought things would turn out. Maybe there's somebody here, you've been praying about something. Something specific. You've been longing, desiring, looking for that answer. But it's not come the way you thought it would. Things have not happened the way you prayed they would. John the Baptist preaching truth, preaching the Word of God. He sure didn't think he would end up in a prison cell. He hears the works of Christ, what the Lord is doing. And John's thinking, why are you not backing up my preaching? Why are you not answering my prayer requests the way I think they need to be? And he's beginning to doubt. The devil will attack you right there. Because the prayer requests that you have sought were not answered in the manner or the way you thought they would turn out. And you've been disillusioned. And the devil attacks you tonight with doubt. There's another reason I see John struggling here with doubt. And I believe he's discouraged. When he heard, Matthew 11, verse number 2, sitting in a prison cell, when he heard in the prison the works of Christ, he was discouraged. Preacher Dan, how could you possibly be discouraged when you hear what the Lord is doing? When I first started preaching, will y'all hear me? I'm going to bare my heart tonight. When I first started preaching, I was young, green, and very naive. I thought, I'm going to preach the truth. I did. And I'm going to walk with God. And I have. And we're going to have fellowship. And we have. And I'm going to be truthful. And when I do, everything's going to turn out good. But I didn't know that there'd be suffering. There would be many that I would get close to that would turn their back on me. There's been sorrow. There's been subjection. I had no idea. Hold your place here in 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want to tell you tonight, if you're walking with God, prepare for a time that you may face discouragement. In 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing rather than for evil-doing. I didn't think about that verse, that you could suffer for well-doing. What about chapter 4, verse 16? Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Sometimes we get the idea that if we do everything right, everything's going to turn out rosy. That's not what the Word of God teaches tonight. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I want you to get in the ship. Yip, yip, yay. Go to the other side. Yes! We're going to the other side for Jesus. Woo! Glory to God! The Lord's told us to do something for him. I can't wait to get to the other side. Wait a minute. Crash, boom, bam. There's a storm. It's a great storm. And the storm has also got in the boat with them. Oh boy, this is not what I thought was going to happen. I sure didn't think there'd be a storm. John the Baptist has been preaching the truth. John the Baptist has been doing what's right. And he's got discouraged. Just doing what God told him to do. There are men leaving the ministry tonight more than any other time in history. Number one reason, discouraged. Discouraged. And you sit and think, it won't happen to you. Oftentimes as a church member, you'll come in and think, boy, I sure hope the preacher will preach something encouraging. I really need to be encouraged. Do you ever think that your preacher might need to be encouraged himself? When did it become his job to be your cheerleader? To encourage you. We need to learn to encourage each other. John the Baptist is in the middle of a prison cell. And he's discouraged. People, not just preachers, are walking away from churches by the thousands. Because their prayers aren't being answered. Because they're throwing up their hands thinking, what's the use? People are not just walking away from their church. They're walking away from their altars. It is absolutely unbelievable right now. There were three Hebrew children standing in the midst of a perverse, crooked generation. And the king said, I want you to bow. And everybody bowed. He wasn't concerned about all those that bowed. He was concerned about three that didn't. And he said, maybe you boys didn't hear me. I said, when you hear the music, you bow down to my image. Or I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated. And they said, King, we're not bowing to you. We're going to serve the Lord our God. And he said to have no other gods before us. We're careful, listen. And so you know what happened to them? What happened to them? Threw them in the furnace. What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, preacher. They stood for right. Where was God? He was in the furnace. Sometimes you and I go through the furnace and we think, I don't want to go through the storm. I don't want to go through the furnace. I don't want to go through the wilderness. I don't want to go through the hardship. Only to find out when you get there, he was there.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes when you get in that place, if you don't see him for a little bit, you'll get discouraged. All we've done is just try to serve him. All we've done is just try to pray and seek his face. All we've done is just try to do what he said do. Where's he at now, the devil? Well, make sure and point out to you. You can't find him, can you? You can't find him, can you? And no doubt the devil has jumped on John's back and said, where's he at? You see, John is disillusioned. John is discouraged. I want to say there's a third reason. John's disappointed. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I'll never be disappointed with Jesus. You a liar. You already have been. Not me, Preacher Darren. I'd never be disappointed. And where's John at? Prison. And he heard the works of Christ. He heard what Jesus was doing. And when he heard what Jesus was doing, he got discouraged. When he heard what Jesus was doing, he got disillusioned. When he heard what Jesus was doing, he was disappointed. I want to read Isaiah 61. Leave your place here. Hold your hand there. Isaiah 61. I want to look at the very first verse. Isaiah 61. Some time back, God gave us a message on the ministry of the Messiah from this verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, took out this very scripture and read it to those that were in the synagogue that day, closed the book and sat down and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your very eyes." Oh, I didn't finish the verse. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Where's John? John's in a prison. And he's sitting there thinking, well, he's the Messiah. And I baptized him. I saw the Spirit descend on him. I heard God the Father speak, "This is my beloved Son." I bear record. I know these things. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But wait a minute. I'm in prison. He's going to come by. He'll be by today. But his day turned into a week. And his week turned into a month. And his month turned into a year. Plus. And Jesus has not even visited.
My preacher's not even stopped by.
Jesus has not even visited. And if he's really the Messiah, he will open the door of the prison to them that are bound. I believe that John is in a prison that's greater than one that has iron bars on it. Some of you go through prisons of suffering, prisons of sickness, prisons of financial distress, prisons of storms. He's in a prison of doubt. Tonight, maybe you're here. You say, "Preacher, I'm discouraged." Yes. "Preacher, disillusioned? Things didn't turn out like I expected?" Yes. "But disappointed?" "No, preacher, never me. Never me." John has a death sentence hanging over his head. Do you believe that? Where is Jesus? I won't say this tonight. I'll move off this. It's hard for John to rejoice. He heard in the prison the works of Christ. Now, when he heard Jesus was going to be born in the womb, John leaped. Why is he not leaping in the prison? I'm just going to be honest, just being real. It's hard to rejoice over the miracles of God for other people when you need one yourself. And you'll think, "Where's my miracle? Where's the answer to my prayer request? Man, everything's falling apart in my life and all around me. And where's he at?" I mean, he's blessing him. He's blessing her. But where's my miracle? And John is disappointed. Now, I'll say something tonight. You can say and you can sing all you want to that you've never been disappointed. But you are right now. You have been. You know good and well. Other people got salvation and miracles and things happen in their life. And the devil has pointed out to you, it's not happening for you. Just being honest. Where's my miracle? Where's God working in my family? Well, Preacher Darren, I just don't believe he's disappointed. Honey, he's very disappointed. Why is the Lord not opening the door of my prison? Oh, he's about to. When your head gets chopped off and you suffer for the cause of Christ, you're getting out of jail free. Number three, and I'm done. There's the victorious response to doubt. Instead of wondering, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" Instead of worrying about it any longer, he's wondered and worried long enough. He said, "Bless God, I'm going to do something about it. I am going to get an answer from him." That's what you need to do. Instead of wondering about this and worrying about it, you need to get an answer from him. He sent two of his disciples, "Go get a hold of Jesus on my behalf." That he is inquiring the Savior. And when the Savior is encountered, he examines the Scriptures. Look at verse 4. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's verification of Isaiah 61 verse 1. Verification of Isaiah 35 verses 5, 6, and 7, I believe. Verification of the Messiah's credentials. Go tell John again. Sometimes you need to examine the Scriptures more than one time. Go back and read it and read it again. In verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That's a gracious way of saying, don't doubt me. Don't doubt me despite what your eyes see. Don't doubt me despite what your heart feels. Don't doubt me despite what your mind is thinking. Don't doubt me. Verse 7, as they departed, those two disciples, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. You know, they all stood there and thought, what did John just say? I can't believe how he's doubting. Oh no, John was doubting. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Look at verse 11. Barely I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
Amen.
Will y'all look at me? When John said the worst thing about Jesus he could possibly say, Jesus said the greatest thing about him. He said, John has doubted you. John is wondering about you. He's checking your credentials. I think John's the greatest. I mean, what did they say about you on Facebook? What did they say about you in the family unit? What did they say about you that got you all torn up? And how did you respond?
Well, let me tell you a thing or two about them.
Or did you say, let me tell you, I think they're the greatest. Oh, how I love them. I want to say this. When we are at our worst, he's still our friend. Have you ever doubted? There's times we just got to say, oh God, help my unbelief. And though John the Baptist doubted, I can't read anywhere that Jesus ever rebuked him. Do you see it? I can't find it. That's a terrible thing, doubt. Jesus never rebuked him. And in closing, this is what God gave me. I was thinking about my daughter. Got married on us. Fine young man she married here from our church. Like a son to me, that boy, Brian. Love you, boy. And they're going to have a baby. And I'll just kind of watch her this week as we got to go on vacation together. Just thanking God for her. Baby in the womb, asking God to protect it. I was just sitting there thinking. There was a time she was much younger. She was very discouraged. Like a lot of young girls are. A lot of emotions. Say amen right there. And she came home and she just lay down in the bed and she said, my life is over. I'm just so upset. I'm so discouraged. And she cried it out. She cried it out. And we went to talk to her. I said, honey, we want to talk about it. Not really. Well, you can't do anything. I remember this so well. I said, honey, I'd like to listen. Would you share your heart with me? Would you just be real? I don't even remember what it was about. She just poured it all out. She poured it all out. And honest, she just got done bad. She's just a bad place, and she's not at fault, and she's just crushed. Her hopes and dreams, and people turned against her, and she's just broken. You been there? And I said, girl, I call her daughter. I said, I only call one person daughter. That's her. I said, daughter, I can't fix that, but I want to pray for you. And I prayed, maybe a 30-second prayer. And I said, I just want to let you know that me and your mama, we care. We love you. And we're always here to listen and try to help you. Thank you for trusting me. I didn't know I was going to talk about it all these years later. I was sitting there thinking about that this week. And God, the Holy Ghost, sat down with me and said, I don't get mad when you doubt me. I still think you're the greatest. But what I do want from you is, I want you to be real with me. When you have doubts, come find me. When you have worries, just come tell me about it. I can do something about it. And it may not be my choice and my will at this moment to fix it for you, but I'll listen. If you trust me, just as much as your daughter trusted her daddy to share her heart, do you trust me to share your doubt? Do you trust me to share your heart? Do you trust me to say, oh God, it's true, I've been disappointed. Oh God, it's true, I've been disillusioned. Maybe there's somebody here, I don't know who it is, but you're in a prison tonight, and until you get real with him, I'm just telling you, when my daughter got real with me, I thanked her for trusting me. You reckon God tonight, after you come talk to him, say, sweet youngin, thank you for sharing your heart with me. Thank you for trusting me. I just want you to know I love you and I'll move the world for you. But this is my will, you go through this right now. It may very well be man of God, deacon, Sunday school teacher, choir member, visitor, guest, Christian, those that are unsaved, I'm just telling you tonight, trying to give you advice. You need to talk to the Lord. You stand to your feet. Come. Set a few display. Does anybody just come say, Lord, I want to talk to you. I got legitimate concerns. Father, tonight I praise you, and I love you. And Father, we as humans, we have worries, concerns, doubts, issues. We deal with criticisms and attacks. We deal with pressures, God, that we cannot overcome. Lord, we're too weak. God, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to overcome? Lord, where else do we turn? Whom do we have in heaven beside thee? So, Lord, tonight we look to you. And we just share with you. Lord, I've done this already. I share with you my concerns. And, Lord, you said, thank you for trusting me. Just lay with it. Lord, tonight somebody in this congregation needs to just be real with the Lord, just as John was real. So God, I don't understand. I've read the scriptures. I don't understand. God, tonight, would you help them? God, would you put your arm around them? Would you touch them? Would you raise them up, Lord, I pray? Please help them, Father. God, get victory from the prison of doubt. that they've been put in. John was chosen to be the forerunner. John was chosen to be put in that prison for the Lord. And the Lord said, John is the greatest, notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. God, tonight, the privilege, God, that you've given us to have the Holy Ghost living in us is even greater still. Help us, God, I pray, by the enablement of the power of the Holy Ghost. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.